This episode of The Edge is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
You're listening to Trek FM.
What have you done out there on the edge of Federation space?
Hello and welcome to Treks from the Edge, Trek FM show where we take a look at every episode of Star Trek Discovery and provide audio commentary for them. And also other little things, like short treks, for example. I'm Mike.
I'm Max.
And today we're going to be taking a look at Star Trek Short Treks Season 2, Episode 4, Ephraim and Dot. This episode is the return, the triumphant return of animated Star Trek to the airwaves. Not really airwaves, but... The mycelial network.
Waves, air. I mean, technically Wi-Fi. It's an airwave.
Okay. Well, I'm watching it through an Ethernet cable, so.
Oh, that's weird.
Better signal, you know, all the rest of it. Anyway. Well, this episode was directed by Michael Giacchino.
Yeah. He's a music guy.
Yes, he is best known for writing music for various big movies, like, for example, Star Trek 2009 and Star Trek Into Darkness and Star Trek Beyond, Jurassic World.
Is that what he's known for? I would have said, like, Incredibles.
Like all the Pixar stuff. He's done a lot of stuff, and he's also directed like an animated short in the past. I haven't seen it, but now he's directing an animated short in the present.
Yeah.
And that animated short is Ephraim and Dot. Just a couple interesting things to note here about this episode in terms of the behind-the-scenes stuff. It was written by Chris Silvestri and Anthony Moranville, who wrote The Red Angel last season on Discovery. I'm not 100% positive. It's episode 10. I think that's the episode where she discovers that her mom is still alive. I'm pretty sure. Not 100% positive. And it's voiced by a couple of people. Really, I think there's only two new voices in it, right? But they are Jeanette Goldstein as the voice of the Enterprise computer once again. And Kirk Thatcher, who is the narrator. And here's the interesting thing about Kirk Thatcher. He's been around forever, does a lot of stuff with the Muppets. He was a puppeteer. He was a director of a lot of like the television stuff. He wrote Muppets Treasure Island. But he's done tons and tons of stuff in the industry, including associate producing Star Trek IV: The Voyage Home, where he also had a role in that movie as the punk with the boombox on the bus.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, should we get this started?
Totally. Let's do it.
Okay. We are paused at the start of this thing. I'm actually at 1 second in. Maybe I'll be able to get back to zero. But we are going to start this up on the count of three. Feel free to watch it with our commentary if you'd like. Feel free to not. And if you're ready, Max?
Yep.
We'll start this up in 3, 2, 1, start. Oh, there's the Discovery, Star Trek.
Short treks. This is the first time it really does seem strange that the Discovery is in the opening credits.
Well, but it is kind of like Discovery Expanded Universe. I mean, you know, not really. I mean, the other ones, you had the crew of the Enterprise on there, even though it was the show Discovery. But here, you know, Tardigrade. Yeah,
it still seemed more connected to Discovery. But now, not only is the Discovery not involved, but, like, no one from Discovery is in it, even in the little, like, snippets here and there.
Yeah, because it's not even Pike's crew. It's Kirk's crew. Right.
No one who's been on Discovery is in it. The ship isn't in it. There's, like, no direct connection except that the Enterprise also was on Discovery.
Well, and the Tardigrade.
But it's not the same Tardigrade.
No, but the idea of it would be like Q showing up on Deep Space Nine to me. Anyway.
I know. It would be like a guy who went to college with Q showing up on Deep Space Nine.
I guess it would be like Klingon showing up on Next Generation.
Yeah, it's like that. And we didn't use the original series credits for episodes where that happened.
No, that's true. I'm very curious to see what they do next time, since that's apparently going to be a Picard short trek. But
yep, it's weird.
Anyway, we're into this thing. I mean, the animation style here, I absolutely love. I love the idea that they're doing, you know, what is essentially like a Looney Tunes cartoon. But hey, it's in continuity. It is canon. And they play around a lot with that. But I think it works and maybe even changes some stuff which we previously thought to be canonical. Like, it doesn't contradict anything. There's some flat-out mistakes, but, you know. So, okay, let's talk about this. They're on the Enterprise.
They are on the Enterprise. Right now, it's somewhere around the time of Space Seed.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, I looked up all of these things. Space Seed, Season 1, Episode 22. Okay?
Yep.
Now, I mean, seeing the Enterprise in animated form, I think, is pretty awesome, right? And like, I don't know, because it's something which we're familiar with in the real world, and now we're seeing it in a different light. We're seeing it in an abstract way. That's one of the things, that is the thing that I liked about the animated series. And it's cool to see it again here. Now, the Tardigrade, and we can talk about this because it could be, I mean, I think the thing to keep in mind here for people who are maybe like, you know, I mean, I know Star Trek fans generally don't care about continuity, but for those who may be trying to figure out how it fits, I think you need to look at this as sort of an abstract interpretation of things, right? But that doesn't mean it's not canon. Okay, so we just saw Tribbles, right? And yep. Well, what does that mean? And now here we're into the Naked Time. And I mean, just to put these into perspective, Trouble with Tribbles, Season 2, Episode 15, Naked Time, Season 1, Episode 4. So how does that, I mean, what's going on? First off, all of these things weren't occurring simultaneously. But in the narration, they say, like, the eggs lay dormant for years, right?
Yes, we have to assume that there's a lot of time jumping in these little moments in between these scenes where, like, any time basically that Ephraim and Dot lose sight of each other, a couple years jump.
Right. Yeah, like, she was probably, like, sitting in that water thing for years, right? Or for a year, yeah, or something.
We have to assume something along those lines, because because that explains why it's all happening that way. Like, the jump, the warp jumps, those are also jumps of years, because now we're suddenly in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of time jumps occurring, and it's not so crazy, because we have to assume that, you know, Ephraim can, you know, navigate the mycelium network in a way that is pretty sophisticated, even from a space-time perspective. So that's not such a big deal. That's not a huge jump.
Yeah.
Like, the only huge jump for me is the idea that during the entire refit process, the technicians didn't find a bunch of eggs sitting in the warp drive.
Well, but I mean, here's the thing, though, too, right? Like, I think scale is also, like, abstract. Like, the tardigrade that we saw on Discovery is much larger than Ephraim here. And, you know, I think that it's safe to say, to some extent, like, oh, these eggs may be microscopic. And maybe the tardigrade, I mean, we don't know how the tardigrade's life cycle is, right? I mean, maybe she's really small at this point, where people wouldn't see her. And then she gets bigger, right?
I tried that in my head. It just doesn't really seem to make sense, because then, like, who's telling this story? How big is Dot? Like, there's a lot of weird things about that. You play the abstraction or, like, impressionistic card, and it kind of blows everything away.
Kind of like the Enterprise here.
Yep.
The Enterprise
this is a very sad moment.
Yeah. But it all works out in the end. I just wanted to let you know, just in case.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's like, I was like, oh my god, are they doing like a Finding Nemo type thing? Like, did all the babies just die except for one? That's messed up.
Yeah, but
some
no.
Dark stuff for a 4-minute episode of a TV show.
No, it's all good.
Yeah, you started this 3.5 minutes ago. Now you're sad. Deal with it. Credits.
Yeah. One thing which Brandon pointed out was that they have the ship that just exploded as the Enterprise A.
Yep, that's not correct.
I know. And I wonder at what point in the process someone was like, we messed this up, but it's too late to turn back, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to ever do anything about that. I don't know how that mistake happened, but, like, it's... I just assumed that somebody looked up the model and...
Yeah, I think someone was like, someone said, we then need to do an animated version of the movie Enterprise. And yeah. They're like, well, here's the movie Enterprise, which is true. It's the same model, right?
Yep.
And then they're just like, oh, that A shouldn't be there, you know? Which obviously is sort of integral to the story because it's the same ship, right? It has to be the same ship.
It has to be the same ship because the one that blew up is not the A.
And also, they put the eggs on the first ship, right? So yeah. It's not like they when they were building the second ship, they're like, let's also build these eggs.
Let's make sure that we move the eggs from the previous ship that we don't understand into the new one. No, like, the big problem is that, like, they animated the explosion of the Enterprise pretty much dead on.
Right. So you had to think that they were almost rotoscoping it.
Yeah, like, somebody had the movie playing, and they were like, all right, so this one happens, and then this thing, this is where that blows up, and no, at no point that they were like, hey, there's no A on the ship. Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's bizarre, the number of people that they have working on these things, the number of, like, Star Trek fans. Like, you would think that someone would be like, you know, guys, you kind of messed this up, but whatever, you know. It could be the A. I mean, it would mess up everything else, but
no,
you could say, like,
that,
you know, like, there was this whole thing that I remember back when they tore down the old Comiskey Park where the Sox played and moved to the new one. There was this woman who was freaking out because her husband's ashes were scattered on the infield of the old park.
Yeah.
But then she was relieved because she found out that in order to maintain consistency, they were taking the top 3 inches of dirt off of the infield and putting them onto the new infield at the park. So maybe it was the same thing with the warp core.
To maintain consistency, they took the top layer of alien space eggs and put it into the new warp core?
They took the top layer of warp core off of the old ship and put it on the new ship.
But like the top 3 inches.
Yeah, the top 3 inches. I mean, I guess when you think about the fact that the ship blew up, that kind of doesn't work. Well, whatever.
Nope.
It is what it is.
Maybe the eggs were in Dot at that point.
I mean, I guess I just have to take down my star rating on this episode from 4 stars to 3 stars because of that technical error. I don't know. But
well, we never saw the A explode. Maybe Dot is the only consistent thing between ships, and Dot had the eggs the whole time.
Maybe. The timeline was changed. The timeline was changed in Discovery.
Oh, no.
No. Okay.
No, don't do that.
All right. But here's what I'm thinking in terms of like, okay, so here are the episodes in order as we see them. Space Seeds, Season 1, Episode 22. Trouble with Tribbles, Season 2, Episode 15. Naked Time, 1.4. Who Mourns for Adonis, 2.2. Doomsday Machine, 2.6. Tholian Web, 3.9. Savage Curtain, 3.22. Wrath of Khan, Search for Spock. So the only inconsistencies really come in the fact that Trouble with Tribbles is before Who Mourns for Adonis, and Naked Time is, you know, after Trouble with Tribbles and Space Seed. So I think it's reasonable to say.
Have you checked the star dates on those?
I think it's reasonable to say, since there is no real established continuity in terms of like actions in these episodes, I think it's reasonable to say that Naked Time and Who Mourns for Adonis take place after Trouble with Tribbles. Then it all works. Why not?
I see a lot of issues. None of them are part of the episode.
I'm just saying that when I do my, you know, if I were doing From There to Here this year, I would, for one thing, figure out how to place all of these Star Trek, Short Treks, Discovery, all that stuff. That would be a mess. But then I would place Naked Time and Who Mourns for Adonis after the Trouble with Tribbles. So anyway, on the whole, what did you think about this episode?
I loved it. I saw it and I was obsessed with the frame. I was like, oh my God, I want a squish one of those. And I looked online and they don't have one. And I was really bummed out. And then like one showed up in the next one and I was like, well, that's not cool. How come she gets one? That's not cool. That's messed up. So anyway, I tweeted about it.
Yeah, I saw that. You had a tweet, which if anyone else tweeted that, you would be like, you're going to hell, because it was a pun.
I use puns when they're about cute things.
I mean, I liked it. It was a good tweet.
Cute puns are not the same thing as like puns intended for like a joke. I just called her tardigrade.
Yeah.
And it's because when you do that with cute things, it's cute, and that's it. She's cute.
Okay. All right. I enjoyed this episode quite a bit. I think that it is one of the best episodes of Star Trek, just in general, but in particular in recent years. I mean, I would say, I don't know. I mean, where do we put this in the rankings of Star Trek, recent Star Treks?
Oh, this is an important task. And I think we need to assemble a team in order to like do this task justice. So I would like to select anybody else. Can we organize that team?
Fair enough.
Okay.
My point is, it's really, really good.
Yeah, it is.
So, yeah.
So it makes sense that you need to figure out where it stacks in the stack of episodes of things Oh my god.
But serious question, right? Like, this episode ends with the punk from the bus in Star Trek IV saying, "One can only wonder what adventures this new family has in store."
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess the question is, when do we get a Star Trek Ephraim and Dot ongoing series? Seriously, like, at this point, screw Picard. Like, who cares? Who cares anymore? This is the new gold standard for television.
I want a lot of things. An Ephraim and Dot series would be great. I need there to be a Picard as well.
I guess. It's just one of those things. It's like when they announced Civil War before Age of Ultron came out, and everyone was kind of like, "Well, then I don't care about Age of Ultron anymore because all I'm doing is sitting here waiting for Civil War." You know what I mean?
No, that's weird.
Doesn't matter. Anyway, let's wrap this up, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Be sure to check out our Discovery coverage throughout the week. We have Live from the Edge. We have the main show. We have Postcards from the Edge, Notes from the Edge, all of this stuff, all of it from the Edge. And you can find that all in the main feed for The Edge or in the Trek.fm master feed. We'd love to hear your thoughts on Discovery, and the best place to do that is in the Babel Conference, which is our listeners group on Facebook. You can also find us on Twitter at Trek.fm or send us an email using the contact form on our website at Trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and choose The Edge. Max, where can people find you on the internet?
I'm JMax Hagel on Twitter, and that's all I can think of at the moment.
Cool. I am Mumbles3K on Twitter and Letterboxd, and you can also find me on filmdamagepod.com doing a show called Film Damage with You, and you can find me on thenerdparty.com doing a show called Retro Perspective, and you can find me on Talk Film Society doing a show called Bayhem, which is all about Michael Bay and his movies. Check out Six Underground. It's great. We'd like to thank our associate producers, Norman C. Lau, Tony Robinson, Lisa Slack, Tom Puleo, Shoaib Mirza, Richard Rutledge, James Muldrow, Cornelia Reutner, Ryan Mallett, Chris Tribuzio, and Brian Maloche. Thank you very much, everybody. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to help us keep all of our shows going and even become an associate producer yourself, visit patreon.com/trekfm for all the details. All right. Well, that's it for this episode of Tracks from the Edge. I can't wait for the next Star Trek Short Treks. I hear it's going to be dry. What? It's already here. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We'll be back momentarily to discuss Star Trek Short Treks Season 2, Episode 5, The Girl Who Made the Stars.